Welcome to the Retail Transformation Show with me, Oliver Banks. This is your weekly podcast, delivering you the insight, ideas, and inspiration to successfully change and transform in our ever-evolving world of retail. Enjoy listening. Imagine this. You've got a brand new idea, and you run the numbers, and the business case shows a glittering alternative to the dreary status quo of today. A bright future beckons, the transformation gets backing and support, and you successfully manage to develop this new solution and deliver it out into the wide world. But then, that glittering future never really appears. Was it a mirage? Was it wishful thinking? Were we overly optimistic? Or has something else happened? Why has the change not delivered the benefits? Let's jump in and find out. Welcome to the Retail Transformation Show. My name is Oliver Banks. I'm your host, a change and transformation specialist, working with retailers to effectively improve retail businesses and operating models. I'm also the author of the book, Driving Retail Transformation: How to Navigate Disruption and Change. Thank you for tuning in to this one. This is episode 287, number 287. Now, you know that for a change to be successful, it must actually improve either the operation or the customer proposition or the colleague proposition or the business as a whole. It must make the future better than it would otherwise be if we continued on with the status quo. And we make forecasts around what benefits it will deliver. Perhaps this is in a formal business case, perhaps it's on the back of a napkin. But either way, these forecasts of the benefits are created to support the justification for making an investment into the change, whether that's an investment in time or money, an effort, or perhaps even just headspace. And these business cases, and we'll use that in a grander sense of a word, whether it's a formal business case or a fact packet or back of the napkin, quick calculation. But these benefits assessments or business cases are used to inform decisions about the change, especially alongside other initiatives that exist within perhaps the change program or portfolio. But then, when it comes to the crunch time, when it comes to the point of delivery, or perhaps past the point of delivery, sometimes we can find that these benefits never materialize, or they can be nigh on impossible to quantify. But without realizing the benefits, we have to then question, was it the right decision to pursue the transformation? Or would we have been better off doing something else with our time, money, effort, and headspace? Well, that's what we're going to investigate today. And I would encourage you to head on over to the show notes page for today's episode at obandco.uk/287. That's obandco.uk/287. And you'll get a summary of today's episode, as well as the opportunity to subscribe for free to the Retail Transformation Briefing, my weekly email newsletter with all of the key headlines from around the world of retail. What's changing? What are the new ideas? What are the new implementations? What are the key trends that you must be aware of? So sign up for the Retail Transformation Briefing at obandco.uk/287. And also right there, you'll find some additional episodes to check out next. But before we go and listen to those other episodes, let's dive in to this one. Why is the change not delivering the benefits? Well, there could be a number of different reasons as to why the change is not delivering the benefits. Now, one of the most obvious reasons is that the benefits were overstated in the first place. Essentially, it was overpromised. And then whether it was underdelivered, that's beside the point. But if it was overpromised, then you've got these lofty goals that are unachievable. And a connection to this is that when the benefits were calculated, they were very one-sided. They didn't account for all elements. Perhaps there has been an on-cost for a particular process that on those initial calculations doesn't exist, but in the real world, when you come to realise the impact, it absolutely does exist. So perhaps there is an on-cost. Perhaps there's been some sales cannibalisation, whereas the initial sales calculations were based on pure uplift with no downside on any other category or product. And those ultimately lead to your benefits being overstated in the forecast stage early on. And then when you come to realise it in the real world, we just don't see those same volume of benefits. The second reason may be that there has been no real linkage from the outputs to the outcomes. Now let's just define those two terms there for a moment, because there is a subtle but crucial difference. The outputs are the tangible deliverables from the change or the transformation. Perhaps that is a new software tool or an app. Perhaps it's a training course. Perhaps it's a new product. It's something tangible. It's something physical that you can say, this change, this transformation, this initiative has created this output. But then the outcomes are what the output should in itself create. These are the business results. Now, ideally, you'd want to have a direct linkage between the outputs and the outcomes. And often, what we see in a simplification change is a great example of this. The output is a simpler process that, let's say, saves a certain amount of labour hours, and then the labour budget is consequently reduced, and you've got this direct linkage between the output and the outcome. But this direct linkage is not always possible. And often, in this instance, there's going to need to be a leap of faith needed to take you from the output to the outcome. And in the instance where this leap of faith is, shall we say, insufficient, then the outputs have been created effectively, but they just don't achieve the ideal outcome, or at least the same level of outcome. So maybe the outputs were underpowered, essentially, and there wasn't sufficient tangible deliverables to result in the outcome. Or maybe, as we're talking about, maybe we just overestimated the outcome. Or perhaps we're just completely delusional, right? And I'm being a bit facetious there, but essentially, maybe the outputs were just never going to deliver the outcomes. You know, maybe the output is a training course and the outcome is a 50% sales uplift. It's going to have to be a pretty amazing training course to deliver that, right? It could also be that the outputs were just not great quality. They were insufficient, or they didn't meet the spec. And we'll come back to that a little later on as we're thinking about utilization. But either way, what's happened is your output has not led to your outcome. And thus, when you come to realize those benefits, it's just not happening. It's never going to happen, in fact. And on a similar vein to that, maybe the benefits that you were wanting to achieve were the wrong outcomes for what the outputs created. Maybe, let's say, that training course improves your customer experience, and it does a fantastic job of that, but it improves it in a way that does not necessarily lead directly to a sales uplift, or at least not in a tangible and measurable way. So maybe we've chosen the wrong outputs to achieve that outcome, or we've focused on the wrong outcome given our outputs. Another reason that the benefits are never realised is that in the cold light of day, the assumptions that we've made to justify the transformation and to calculate the benefits, those assumptions were just not true. Now, an assumption is essentially filling in the blanks for something that we don't know. It is, in many ways, by definition, a guess. And if that guess is wrong, then of course, it's not a surprise that we get a different outcome. Now, there's lots here that we could talk about in assumptions, and I don't want to do that right now. I think that would be a bit of a rabbit hole. But perhaps, for example, our assumptions have been around the size of a particular customer segment or customer need, or the frequency of a particular shopping mission. and these have been overstated, let's say. Or perhaps the solution isn't viable for a particular subsection, although we had assumed it would be suitable for everything. Maybe it doesn't work in a particular store format, let's say, for whatever reason. Whatever which way, we made an assumption during the development of the transformation and during the development of the business case and the benefits, and that assumption hasn't come true. And like I say, there's lots of different reasons why that could be, and we could have a whole episode on that one, in fact. Another factor that could lead to the benefits never being realized is that there is an important element within the broader market that has changed since the business case was developed, or since the benefits were calculated, or the research was completed. And these changes, whatever they are, perhaps we're talking about evolving customer behaviors, or a shift in the channel mix, or perhaps even the development of a competitor's proposition or business or operating model. But these changes mean that partially the original assumptions that were made don't come true, or even that if you were to reassess the benefits on paper right now in the today world, shall we say, you just wouldn't get the same answer for whatever reason. But there has been something in the market that has changed. And essentially what has happened is that either we've had a slow evolutionary type change that we just didn't recognize, we didn't notice, and we haven't been updating the business case and all of the assumptions that build into that to meet this evolving market. So essentially we saw a problem, we shut ourselves in the cupboard, came up with this amazing idea, and then when we came out of the cupboard, the world has changed since then. So either that's a challenge, or we've seen an instantaneous shift. Now, this is most likely driven by a competitor, and maybe they've launched a new market-beating product, maybe they've opened up a new channel, whatever it is, there's been an instantaneous shift. And in those instantaneous shifts, if we couldn't have predicted it, then we need to just be able to react quickly. But either which way, something has changed since our initial assessment. Maybe it was slow, maybe it was quick, but whichever way, we're not going to realize those benefits, unfortunately. Another factor is that the benefits we hoped to achieve are too difficult to quantify. Let's say, for example, we were hoping for a sales uplift, but it's an incredibly volatile market, and there is so much noise that we just can't tell if that sales uplift has happened. Or perhaps we're looking for a sales uplift in a declining market, and so sales are down, and so therefore did we uplift the sales? Would they have been further down? We don't know. And essentially what there is there's so much variation, so much noise in the data, that when we run statistical tests, we don't have the confidence levels to demonstrate a marked and defined change. And so we can never really quantify, we can never really say, look, here is the data, here are the results, this is the realization of the benefits from the change. And then the final reason is that we've got low utilization of the change, of the output. And this could be for a number of different reasons. Maybe it's a cultural, people-based reason, or maybe it's a technical reason. And essentially, whatever's happening here is we're saying there is a benefit, but there's just not enough of them. We haven't got that scale that leads to the business case, the initial calculations, etc. And as we break this down, there could be three different root causes. And to help paint the picture of this, I wanted to use an example. Let's say we've developed a new colleague app which simplifies a particular process in store, and it saves time. However, this app is an optional change. It's not enforced. It's not a legal compliance, let's say. And therefore, people's free will is a key factor. And by the way, this might still be part of the operating model. We might still say, this is how we work. This is our defined process map, our defined ways of working, whatever. But there's still an element of choice. We could decide to ignore that process map. We could decide to not comply with the operating model. And this could be intentional, or it could just be a completely honest mistake. But right, let's say we've got this new colleague app. The first of the root causes for low utilization is that we could see people, users, reverting to the old ways of working. So we saw a surge of usage on the app. Lots of people downloaded it or started using it, whatever. And then that usage was never sustained. So we saw a big peak and then it drops off. And this could be due to a technical issue. Maybe the app is buggy and people start using it and go like, oh, this is useless, not going to use it. Or maybe the app is, let's say, complex to use. And again, once people experience it, they just don't like it or they're not quite sure how to use it. And there is this enormously steep learning curve that once someone downloads the app and accesses it, they recognize the steep learning curve and they think, not worth the effort, right? And then they start using it and they stop very quickly. Or maybe there is something like a missing feature that isn't a really essential to getting people to pick it up naturally. So we could see this surge in utilization and then it reduces down, maybe sharply, maybe dwindling over time, but either which way, it goes down to below our ideal or predicted level of utilization. Alternatively, we could have seen that utilization never get to that same level. We've never reached the optimal level that we aimed for. And here, there could be a number of reasons. Maybe there is confusion about the change. People are not sure what it is they need to do. Maybe they're uncertain as to why this change is being introduced. And perhaps this was generated by a lack of communications, a lack of training, ultimately leading to a lack of clarity around what the change is and why it's needed. Just not enough people know, essentially. Or perhaps the early adopters of, let's say, this app are just not supporting it. It's gained a bad reputation. Or there's a more viable alternative that these individuals have found out and have shared it, and actually people are not bothered because there's no obvious reason. It doesn't have the positive PR to encourage people to jump on board. And actually, as an aside, as you start to investigate, particularly these two root causes for low utilization, you might find that the reasons are entirely logical, entirely understandable, or they're a bit nonsensical. They're not based in truth. But the important thing here is user perception is true, although it may not be correct. If users perceive it to be difficult, it is difficult, even though it might only be one button press, right? If it's perceived as difficult, it is. And that's the same for any of the reasons that you find as you dive into these reasons for low utilization. But the third root cause for low utilization is that you have allowed insufficient ramp-up time. Whatever the change is, whether it's this app that we're using for an example or another change, you need to allow time to adjust to new behaviors, especially if there is that element of free will where people get to choose whether they adopt the change or not. And here, if you've allowed insufficient ramp-up time, then you could be taking a sample to realize the benefits and it's just too early. In this instance, it needs to have a long-term view. You know, let's take an alternative example here. Amazon Prime. Let's say when Amazon Prime was first introduced, Amazon took a temperature check of the benefits realization after, let's say, 3 months after it launched. What they would have found is there weren't that many subscribers, and it would have had a cost implication for all of the free shipping that they were offering at the time. And it would have made sense to stop this initiative. But in turn, that would have missed everything that followed afterwards. In this example, Amazon Prime had a long ramp-up time, but wow, what incredible benefits to achieve eventually that I'm sure have surpassed the original forecasts, right? And so are you finding low utilization because you just haven't given it enough time? You need to keep the change initiative going. You need to keep marketing and communicating and training and supporting the initiative. And to do this, you want to ensure that there is transformation support in whatever form that takes going forward. In our app example, maybe that's app development time. Maybe that's more communication going forward. Maybe that's more roadshows and other activities to bring people on the journey of starting to use this new app. So those are the three root causes that fall into our final ultimate root cause around low utilization. And it should also be said that if your transformation is not achieving the benefits, it could be a whole matrix of these different root causes. It doesn't need to be just one factor, right? But if you are in a place where the business benefits are not being realized, then you have some important considerations and decisions to make. What can you do to turn it around? You need to be thinking about what you can do to turn it around. What is it that you can do to realize the actual business benefits? Is it around resetting expectations in the business? Is it around going further with your outputs? Is it around making sure that you're maximizing utilization? Whatever it is, how do you turn this situation around? And if you can't, maybe the market has shifted in a hugely unanticipated way. What do you do? Do you leave it as is in the new world? Do you revert and roll back to life as it was pre-change? Do you need to kick off a new program to take yourself forwards? And really, when you're deciding these, you need to think about, is it cash positive? Is it delivering benefits? Maybe it's cash, maybe it's customer experience, colleague satisfaction, whatever it is. Is it positive? Or is it actually not doing that much and it's a drain and a distraction on the business? And obviously, as you get into the specifics of your transformation, this could go in a number of different ways, but you need to actively think about what you're going to do as a result of not realizing the benefits. That needs to be a conscious decision. Do not just continue on as is because, oh, well, never mind, right? The one other element that you need to face into if you find yourself in a place where you are not realizing the expected benefits is you need to question, could this have been predicted? And more importantly, could this have been avoided? And my answer here is yes, quite simply. Whether that's clearer planning up front, whether that's setting expectations effectively, whether that's getting more people's perspective, understanding the status quo, whether it's around thoroughly reviewing the solution and the problem set. Maybe you need to be using things like stratification tools that I go into in driving retail transformation. Or perhaps you need to make more effective use of trials and tests, or improving how you are deploying your change. And probably all of the above, right? There's always going to be an element of unknown when it comes to transformation, and in particular, forecasting the benefits. But what you do want to do is to ensure that you're doing everything that you can to get as close as possible with regard to that forecast of the future. And next time round, when you do all of this, then you won't be in a place where there is this enormous mismatch between your business case, your benefit expectations, and reality, the benefit realization. And certainly, if you go through my book, Driving Retail Transformation, you'll find a number of different tools and techniques that will help you avoid this situation for sure. And whether that's avoiding it early or avoiding it late on, or both. So you can find out more, pick up a copy in your usual bookstore, whether that's Amazon, whether that's a local independent bookstore. Search for or ask for Driving Retail Transformation by Oliver Banks, that's me, and I look forward to helping you to navigate disruption and change effectively. And you can find out more about the book at drivingretailtransformation.com. So thank you for tuning in today. I hope this has been a helpful guide in that tricky situation when you find that the business benefits are not being realized. If you'd like to discuss your specifics in more detail, then you can find my contact details on the show notes page at obandco.uk/287. That's obandco.uk/287. And remember to check out the Retail Transformation Briefing, as well as some additional episodes connected to today's discussion that I think you might want to listen to next. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate your support, and I'd also love if you could help share this episode, perhaps with a colleague or a connection. Maybe you've had discussions about business benefits not being realised or struggling to justify a particular transformation. I know I'd appreciate that, and I'm sure they would appreciate you as well for sharing this. Thanks for listening, and I'll look forward to joining you in another episode of The Retail Transformation Show very, very soon. Bye for now.